Thank you to all who have been supporting the channel by checking out our merch at RejectNationShop.com and becoming Royal Rejects.
Andrew, you ready?
John, I think I'm ready for the finale, but my heart is not ready. My head is ready, but my heart is not.
You got the body, I got the brains. Let's do this thing. All right. And Jin.
Yes, John.
And Drushi Gay.
I heard my name a couple
Gordon
times.
Gordon Naga.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mr. Blackthorn yourself. Before I let you take the mic,
yes,
to leave
John.
A rating for us on Apple or Spotify, wherever you happen to be listening to this, if you're listening to the podcast version, it'll very be. Much appreciate it. Yeah, man. It's one of those things. I'm not ready for this moment.
Right.
And it almost doesn't feel real. But yeah, what did you think?
Before I go into my rant,
also, if you could go rejectnationshop.com, help support us over there, and also look cool like us. We got some cool tees over
the
there.
Coolest, objectively.
Yes, if you want to look and sound as cool as the engine, the Hajimoto, get yourself a shirt over there.
No, it was a great finale. Obviously, great show. We'll talk about the show as, excuse me, as a whole. Just getting into the finale, I had a slight suspicion. Just thinking, like, we didn't get a ton of action just throughout the scope of the show. It didn't rely on that, which is fine. The show was great without it. The times that they did insert action was amazing. And it was a good subversion of expectations, the way everything was done, I didn't even need it. Would it have been cool? Sure. But I didn't need it. And I just, again, the way everything, like, just naturally happened, and seeing Torunaga's plan and all that, like, finally unfolding, and that whole interaction he had with Yabushige, was so interesting. It's also one of those shows I can't wait to revisit, as well. Just seeing, like, the layers being picked apart even more. It's was really fascinating to watch. Just an incredible finale. I really thought there's so much an incredible acting and character development. Fuji, for instance. I also thought Blackthorn, just an incredible thing. We talked about a little bit during the reaction, but just again, seeing again how he embraced the ideology of just and the culture in Japan here at this time, and then also too just with his faith as well now, because of how against Catholicism he was, and now, you know, with how invested and how much Mariko meant to him, and now, you know, it was fascinating to watch him grow as a character. I really loved the journey with him, and just all the other characters we went on as well. Just an incredible finale in general, and then also to the whole thing with Mariko being the actual Crimson Sky. I thought that was fascinating. Because, again, the subversion of expectation, like, Crimson Sky, we got this crazy battle that's going to come and brewing.
Yeah, right.
This was the proper way to do subversion of expectations, and, like, how it was done. And, like, she is the Crimson Sky. And, like,
there is that element. Like, there is an element of bloodshed, and there is an element of like, clashing physical forces. But, yeah, you realize that, oh, no, it might not be, like, storming the castle and burning it all to the ground and leaving a pile of rubble there. Yeah, it's more just like a specific, well-chosen political attack almost. Yeah,
and also too, like,
which again speaks to the theme and the qualities that, you know, Torunaga certainly represents.
Yeah, and we know that obviously Mariko, she, you know, wanted to go out many different times, which we saw. And with this whole plan, and that she was going to unite everyone, and, you know, that was going to be her sacrifice and her legacy, and how she embraced her family lineage and name. Just, it's so poetic. It's so beautiful the way it was done. Damn, what a freaking amazing show.
And it makes you really want to go back and watch it and rewatch it and dissect it and really catch all of the little nuances. Because, again, you know, there's been so much to pull out of just these first time watch experiences.
For sure.
And then you guys are great about, you know, kind of popping in and being like, hey, you might have missed this or overlooked this detail or whatever. But yeah, like, the amount of just overlapping context that they are able to pull off with such kind of compelling conviction is great. And this episode, it's like, yeah, throughout the show, thankfully, I have only seen a handful of comments of people popping in and being like, ah, this is overrated. Like, nothing happens. There's no action.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Once or twice. It's like genuinely an outlier sentiment as far as I have seen in the comments. But I have seen it once or twice, and I feel like I could imagine a viewer out there. Again, I feel like if you're locked into what the show's doing, you're probably not hoping for or expecting this necessarily. But I can imagine a type of viewer who would want to see like a big ass battle in the last episode. And I think it's smart, probably budget wise, because A, I'm not sure they could do that. And it is those moments where I could feel the most CG assistance, certainly when you have certain of the really big, broad landscapes and like the big, broad armies and stuff like that. Like those are the few moments where I could feel like, okay, maybe the budget was a little stretched in how you would pull that together. So like that, the functionality of that aside, I feel like, yeah, they managed to, again, create such wonderful tension and release out of just the journey of learning the real context for what just happened that was so striking in the moment last week, you know, this huge kind of crescendo and a heartbreaking one at that. And then to watch the ripples, like we've talked so much about how Toranaga is this presence that looms regardless of whether he's in the episode or not. And there are a handful of episodes where he's just pretty much not in them at all. And this episode, Mariko, you know, you see maybe once or twice in flashback and like quite sparingly. I feel like you probably saw her more in the recap speaking and whatnot than you do in the actual episode.
But
and
her
so
presence
like,
looms.
But her presence looms large. And just the idea too that, you know, you watch the kind of master play. Like I think they did nicely to subvert the possibility of a final battle, because yes, it does also feel like there could be some final battle in this episode. So then to when it gets late enough in, you're like, I don't think there's enough time.
Yeah, totally. And also, but I like that they actually showed what could have been too, when that whole like narration from Toranaga, and then like seeing like what's going to happen, where like how now he's got Lady Oshiba's, he's got her, I guess she said
he's got
that,
her loyalty.
Well, yeah, he's
back,
got her loyalty,
you know,
but then
the heir's
forces.
Exactly.
So now when he like says
and
that
her
he's
flag,
going to
that whole thing about like whose flag will you be under?
Yeah. So when he orders an attack, they're not going to obey him or anything. Think so, but I again, just seeing the scope of what could have been, that was such an awesome shot. And I like how they narrated it with Toranaga saying it to Yabushige. That was, but still, epic looking shot of what could have been and what is going to happen.
Yeah, and the one time is people spend so much time theorizing about what's going on in Toranaga's mind, and like it is this intimate moment where you do for a minute get to glimpse into his vision and his foresight, you know. And the fact that he's like, this all came together, I took all these disparate elements and kind of created a maneuver that would set into motion a way in which to topple all of this over the way a battle could, but without actually having to do a battle.
Right.
And I mean, I don't think it'll fix everything in the most like, well, everyone's just happy now. But at the same time, like it is a masterful play that I think like the series up until now has had enough shocking and thrilling moments of fighting, and certainly there have been gore gags and carnage here and there.
The show doesn't rely on its action.
Yeah,
it relies on its story and its characters and development and all that. So I didn't need it.
No, personally. Exactly. And it still feels like a lot of action went down and like a lot of big, hefty, you know, emotional and physical toll has been taken. And yet, we avoided this.
And the whole point was Toranaga was trying to avoid all of that. That's the
and
whole
he
point.
Got to have his and cake and eat it too, in a sense. Like,
that's like, that literally defeats the whole, I mean, again, as awesome and bombastic and cool as it would have been to see a battle, it defeats the whole purpose and point of the strategist that is Toranaga. Yeah. So it makes sense not to have it.
Yeah. And plus you're probably all going to kill so much of the country now.
Right.
But the paying off of so many things simultaneously is really expert writing to me. And I love that it comes back around to, I love the motif of the ship, and it's like he loses her in the moment, and her death is symbolic, and it means a lot of different things to a lot of different to everybody. You know, she is the figure who can, you know, be this sort of pin at the center of the grenade of all of this.
Right.
But finding that, like, even in her final gesture, A, there are aspects of it that you know are absolutely her and that she kind of like lives. You can feel the person there almost. There's something about it, I think, when you like learn in hindsight what someone actually maybe did on your behalf. Like it makes them feel alive in that moment because it's like there's a new development or something. And so this idea that like, oh my God, she negotiated with the church to spare my life. But then, you know that, yeah, there's Ishido out there who's probably going to, yeah, find like posture like that to save face, but then have you killed. But then, oh wait, you know, we were able to strike an actual deal for your ship. And the ship is like an excellent test because, yeah, like it is the thing that ties him to the past phase of his life that he's been trying to get back to. And I think the flash forwards are interesting because now it's like, it's not that he can never go back to the place that he came from, but I feel like there is a certain aspect of not going back to the old way, but yeah, toward a new way. And so like, yeah, that revelation and the way that it slowly unfolds and you get the initial sort of wallop of like, oh my God, she used one of her final, you know, plays to spare me and look, hey, maybe I can go over here and help Torunaga. But then you find out that Torunaga was also probably heavily involved with this, and that solidifies the fact that like of all the characters who have had, you know, like a loyal bond, the two of them, you know, for as much as you see them in separate scenarios, even though, yes, like she is one of his vassals and quite an important one at that, like, you know, you experience the both of those characters largely through other characters. And then that moment you're like, oh, wow, without even seeing it, we can feel how both of them affected this moment in a way that like allows for some sort of, I don't know, catharsis in that like, oh, you know, this is probably a sign of what I must have meant, what our, you know, brief time together must have meant in that she spared me. But also, yeah, to ultimately find out that Torunaga was the one who's basically like, hey, and not that he explicitly finds out it was him directly, because, you know, it's like Mariko brokered it, you know, in the moment. So, you know, at face value, it's, you know, the terms that she brought to them. But also, you know, that's in conference with Torunaga. And then that completes the whole test thing later, you know, and yeah, it's like the push and pull and the back and forth and the constant like pounding and folding and the tempering of the loyalties, you know, and to watch as like Blackthorn and Yabushige have, you know, drifted together and apart in certain ways and have allied and have, you know, yeah, followed selfish pursuits in certain ways. And then to watch where they both wind up and to watch as like Yabushige is freaking out and he is like kind of going a little insane by the end of it, and he's just so kind of, he's been so kind of cooked by being a double agent
for
now,
sure,
that he's lost kind of a sense of self and he's like written so many wills, and so he's like spiraling down. And then you have Blackthorn, who, you know, has constantly been kind of at odds with and shedding, you know, his way and accepting this new way. And then, you know, for him to ultimately prove his honorable nature by being like, listen, you know, I know what this looks like, but I also have learned enough about the politics of being here to know that it wasn't my enemies who torched the ship. You know, like I understand the political undertone of what this must be. And hey, you know what? You know, if we want to lay it all on the table and I want to prove my true and honest loyalty to you, you know, I will lay down my life,
for sure,
you know, if you won't accept my offer. And like, God, just.
And the moment with Buntaro showing him respect, and like that was powerful and well earned too. Before we get into that too, I will say too, like, do you think that it was going to take Torunaga, did you think it was going to take him 9 times to get the head off of Yabushige? Or?
Yes, I definitely thought he would go for 10.
Yeah, I will say this too. Like, yeah, maybe you could make the argument that showing, Blackthorn, showing him in the flash forward there might take a little bit of time. If you don't know, if you're like novices like us who have never seen, read the book or seen the old series, it might take a little tension off knowing that he's safe in the show, but I argue it wouldn't, because they do a good job of making you feel, you know, in the moment with certain scenes, like when he's about to commit seppuku there.
Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking about the flash forward anymore. We had seen it a couple times already, so I thought it was done to dramatic, and it was a satisfactory effect to the point of, again, if you can do it like that, I'm cool with it. Like, that's where I thought it was done too well, to a good effect. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's an element I'm going to continue chewing on. But it is one where, and I understand that at least the book and whatnot are rooted in actual history, and Blackthorne is based on an actual guy. So maybe that's partly true to his life. Like, maybe he did return eventually to England and whatnot, and was just sort of. It gives to me the idea that he was obviously, since we're focusing on this and this chapter of his life, this seems like one of the most significant to the character. And it's haunting for what we're experiencing in the moment. And I have to imagine that, yeah, if he makes it, you know, to be that age and he is, you know, living out his, you know, final years in England, that, yeah, like, there's going to be at least some element of all of this that would be swirling around. Like, it is kind of a mournful, it is kind of like a somber foreshadowing of what's to come for his end. But true. I think it also very kind true. Of creates this interesting, it creates this interesting moment. Cause you know, it's like the love is going to stay with him forever, but then we actually end the episode off on the sort of opportunity of the here and now, you know, of his, you know, this sort of prime that he is in, or at least, you know, this particularly significant moment. So, yeah, like, it ends with a hope and a sense of endeavor for him and a new sense of purpose. And I guess when you see him in the end, it almost feels like now all of a sudden it's odd to look at him in the place that he might have come from. And two, like, it's like that thing that Torunaga said, like, I love, again, the poetry of the show and the structural balancing of the show, because yeah, like, they harken back to that conversation from early on about, you know, like, what is your conflict? What is it? That whole thing about, like, your conflict doesn't mean anything, let it go, you know, but it does if I win. And like the breaking of that when he ultimately comes back around and he lets go and he's like, yeah, my war is a small, yeah, he says that my war is a small war. And it's perhaps based on something much less meaningful in a way. Like, you know, obviously we get a glimpse into the complexity of how life works here and the thin lines that the thin scaffold that directs so much of everything, where it's like we have tradition and we have protocol, but then we have brief moments where human nature transcends all that stuff. And like, there are so many moving parts and pieces to come back to that idea that, like, you know what? There's so many times I tried to kill this guy. And he makes me laugh, you know, and like, there are aspects.
The way he cusses.
Yeah, things like that. And it's like, it's a human thing. And it reminded me of the earthquake then and the superstition of like, you know, so many times it might just be a little thing that defies all of the politics and logic we mostly operate on. And yeah, like, you do get the sense that there is mutual respect there. But Torunaga is obviously like not probably viewing himself in certain ways on the exact same like level plane of like he's above everybody in a lot of ways, looking down, because, you know, like, that's, I think, who you would have to in some way be to, you know, author such an endeavor. Like, you know, at least from the show's perspective, he does seem like, you know, a wise and calculated and just and compassionate leader. But again, you know, he also, I have to imagine anybody capable of like leading a nation has to have a little bit of that, you know, insanity of some kind. But yeah, just like the balancing of the hefty nature of things with the thin, you know, little fleeting ephemera that make so much of life is fascinating.
Going back a couple episodes, I thought it was fascinating how they foreshadowed when Torunaga and Mariko were talking about how they're going to get Ochiba back on his side. And
that too.
Literally,
that too.
But Torunaga asked Mariko, he asked her the question, and she was the answer. I just thought that was fascinating foreshadowing.
And it gives her the full wraparound, because it's like she gets the release she's been begging for, and she also gets to
be the answer.
You know, of all these spiritual kind of duties and things, you know, these, you know, I'm blanking on what the exact right word for it is, but just, yeah, these, you know, spiritual duties that she has to her various allegiances and whatnot, oh God, my train of thought.
yeah. But
no, it's those things are she's done after all of this carrying that stuff around and kind of living in this prolonging of her life that is clearly painful to some degree, kind of perpetually, and being strung, feeling like maybe she's being strung along by, you know, being told she has some kind of bigger purpose, there you go, or meaning in all of this. When it comes right down to it, yeah, she is able to strike like the most meaningful, yeah, culmination of all of that and very really true. Make good on that, but also achieve the release that she has wanted. And I feel like as much as you want her to end up with Blackthorn, like, no, like, this is the piece for her character.
Yeah,
and it's
course.
Beautiful that, yeah, that piece speaks to her old friend, cuts through all the other chaff of who our fathers are and what they did, and just looks at the present moment and the little gesture of the poem. And I feel like even in the last episode, they kind of cast off the poem. It's like, oh, you know, like, what is this? You know, the leaf with no branch, no leaves or whatever, you know. And then
the
this
one she said to her son was the one that, right?
Yeah, they call back to it here, yeah, but in a compassionate way, and they finish it together. You know, he offers up a line and she refines it. And then that's part of the message that they deliver. And it's just, yeah, it's wrapped up in so much poetry as well as so much sharp writing, yeah, and observant, you know, storytelling and ways of showing us character. Like, again, I feel like a different show would have had like at least like a I hate you but damn it I respect you kind of moment with Buntaro there at the end, yeah, but instead it's just like he comes to help, they both acknowledge their mutual grief, he hands him the water,
perfect,
and that's all you need to be like, hey bud, respect, I'm glad that we're united in this, and we all kind of, yeah, have left some of our personal selfish gains and seen like what the true vision is and what, you know, a better way forward for kind of everyone involved with this could be.
Citizens of the Reject Nation, or should I say Royal Rejects, because that is who we call those who check out our RR apparel at rejectnationshop.com. We come out with new designs every month or every 2 months. It is personally my favorite way you can support the channel. Reason being is because we are involved with every one of the exclusive RR designs that are up at the shop. Every month it's been growing. Every month we are getting more and more Royal Rejects, and I really love to hear how people are finding the shirts to not just be cool looking, but also fit nicely and feel comfortable. I cared about that more than anything else. I'm a hairy guy, so I'm really like sensitive to the fabric. We got a bunch of designs already, such as our Super Marvel Bro shirt. My sister actually designed this one. Deadpool Wolverine inspired, my personal favorite one. But then we also got our number one bestseller, the Last Daddy t-shirt, which has Pedro Pascal from The Last of Us inspired, carrying baby Grogu. We have Loki's glorious balloon. We also have our Doctor Who shirt, which is full of a bunch of classic Doctor Who quotes on the TARDIS. We have Space Babies of the Galaxy. We got ourselves some Star Wars inspired shirts. We got a Boys inspired shirt, and we have a House of the Dragon one as well. Pointing those out because obviously we have new seasons of those shows coming up. And then of course, you know, we got a bunch of other designs as well, like our Batverse one, Who Influences the Influencers, another Last of Us inspired t-shirt. And of course, you know, the classic Reject Symbolism t-shirts as well. Either one is an amazing way to support the channel, and like I said, you get to look good while doing it. So thank you guys so much. Do consider going to rejectnationshop.com, and also tag us on social media if you end up buying a shirt. Please tag us. We'd love to see it when people do end up buying the shirts. Thank you, Royal Rejects. See you guys soon. You
know. Yeah, yeah. I don't have too many more thoughts. I'm gonna look up, if
please,
you're okay with it,
yeah,
some trivia stuff.
Please.
But I will, before I do, I will say again, amazing show.
Yeah.
Acting across the board. The music, too, by Atticus Ross and the other Ross guy. The other guy, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Music just really set the tone with the mood and atmosphere and,
yeah,
just all that.
Yeah.
Writing, story, character development. There's just so many different things about this show that I loved.
Yeah.
Just fascinating all across the board. Let me just see if there are any trivia facts,
yeah,
show. Let's see.
Look some stuff up. I'm just real quick over this. Omi really appreciated his performance.
Yeah,
because
he was almost, I wouldn't say a throwaway character, but I didn't appreciate his character.
He grew on me
for sure.
It's one of the more gradual arcs, and I think they, again, did a nice job of having a lot of different arcs, either in various stages of acceleration. Some of them are slower burns. Some of them are more, immediate. And you had Muraji, you know, the spy,
yes,
samurai.
He was, yeah, I liked
I
him
really
too.
Loved what they did there, and the translation scene back and forth with him I thought was great. Alvito was a really strong supporting character.
Yeah, he
grew on me a lot, despite the dubious nature.
And you even
nature.
Remember with Alvito, like, I even said, you know, when during the couple conversations, like, they don't listen to him. Like,
no,
yeah, he's... Yeah, no,
he's sharp. Like, you know, he does have his own biases and interests in light of those. But yeah, like, he is sharp.
Yeah.
And a character like Yabushige, again, like, I love that he, because I've heard a lot of people say, like, oh, he's basically Littlefinger from Game of Thrones, which in a lot of ways he is, because he's playing wildly between both sides and is really like a rat in a lot of ways, despite being so likable and so kind of brash. But, you know, the send off between him and Toranaga, I thought had a really appropriate amount of, like, you get how these guys are friends, and then you get the line where the duty comes back in. But even in the non-prolonging of that moment and how cold that turn kind of feels in the instant, when they share that look and he just goes for it, it's like he does get the honorable death in a way, even though he's like freaking out before that. And, you know, he just accepts it in the moment. I was wondering, and I thought they timed that incredibly. And I think that's credit to the direction as well as the actors very much, because I'm sure they had to feel, it's their job to feel that moment and just to sell that moment.
Yeah, this did not affect my enjoyment of the show. It was perfection for the most part, but I really would have loved to have seen Rodriguez one more time.
But still,
that again did not affect storyline or anything else.
And real quick, Fuji as well. I really loved the send-off
with Fuji. Yeah, becoming a nun.
And just the last exchange she has with Blackthorn. And I really liked, again, it's a really nice testament to the tension and the you know, beautiful use again of context, culture, character, all those different things working together, that moment where she's like, hey, Toranaga has basically like allowed me, and she also was kind of you know, begging to be freed of all of this, and now she has found
the beginning. And then Hiramatsu like said, no, you are here for a bigger purpose, now you're going to serve something bigger,
and now she's going to serve something even bigger than all of that, and to see her turn in that sense in that brief moment, and they're shooting them from these profiled angles with not a lot of negative space, you know, it's kind of, you wonder what the turn is going to take when he's like, I order you to stay, you're my consort. And she's like, I'm sorry, that's just not what's happening anymore. And then the way I thought even that showed the growth, it's like, you know, he cares enough about, I mean, you know, he relies on her to some degree, but also it seems like they do have a bond of some kind from all of this. And so the fact that he at least protests and then immediately is like, you're going to be the best nun. And then they go out together and share that, you know, sending off that final letting go, where, yeah, they scatter the ashes and he convinces her, he brings a part of his world in the burial at sea, you know, and combines it kind of with hers in a way that is, you know, that they can truly meet in the middle on, and is based in a, you know, something spiritual that plays into that whole idea of just like, nobody in particular is God, just the spirit, just the gesture, just the emotional intent. And the fact that, yeah, he helps her let go of them, who was such a big kind of a moment at the beginning of the show, all that transpired with her husband and their baby and, you know, up till now. And then her, you know, helping him to let go of Mariko's cross, let your hand be the last to hold it. Like, yeah, so many great send-offs. And for, again, a character who is, for all intents and purposes, probably not in the show for a ton of, like, pound-for-pound screen time, left such a huge impact and had such a lovely presence. And,
absolutely.
Clearly, we cannot say enough. Yeah, I cannot say enough.
I loved Fuji. Absolutely.
Yeah, terrific.
Okay, I'll read a couple because they're very long, and then I'll read the
read the longest,
the
one
longest
you can
ones.
Find. We need to make this video three hours.
We might be here a while if I read the longest one. So this one says, the samurai would shave the middle part of his head, called a chanmage. Thank you so much.
I'm not the authority.
That sounds right to me. Chanmage, where the remaining hair was oiled and waxed before being tied into a small tail folded onto the top of the head in the characteristic top knot, so that his helmet, kabuto, fit tightly onto the head when donning his armor for battle. With less hair, the samurai would also not suffer from the buildup of heat on the head when wearing the helmet.
I guess, yeah, you prevent skid and, I mean, you're sweating maybe, so I don't know. I don't know if it's your hair and your scalp working together, but that's, yeah, I mean, I'm always curious as to like how much of that is symbolic versus functional versus what overlap there is between both.
The wife of a samurai would receive a small tanto called a kaiken, a small dagger as a wedding gift.
Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Interesting.
Okay.
I wonder if that's a sinister wedding gift or a...
Here's what you spoke about. William Adams, the historical figure which the character John Blackthorne...
John Andrew Blackthorne.
Yes, was based on, spoke a number of languages, including Portuguese.
Portuguese.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that is one thing, you know, there's less made of speaking Portuguese specifically. But I feel like, yeah, like we hear English for all the non-Japanese languages, and I believe that much of the time, unless you're with Blackthorne specifically with his crew or whatever, is, yeah, Portuguese.
Hiroyuki Sanada performed his own stunts. No surprise there.
I could totally see that. And man, for like, what a presence. And from, I don't know the ins and outs of the behind the scenes, but, you know, it seems like he was at least involved in the, you know, structural formation of this show too.
Elizabeth the First was Queen of England and Ireland during this time period.
Okay. Hey. I wonder too, somewhere I saw this brought up, Scorsese's Silence is a movie I've always thought was very cool and underrated.
I don't think it's a badass movie,
but you get what I mean. Like it's a really thoughtful movie that I think takes place around this time and place, you know, and it's about monks in Japan. So I don't know. Yeah, this was giving me similar vibes in terms of the contemplative and the spiritual nature of things.
So Hiroyuki Sanada and Nestor Carbonell, I believe that's Rodriguez, appeared in the series Lost, but didn't share any scenes together.
Okay.
Anna Sawai and Takiro Hira were both in the Apple TV series Monarch, Legacy of Monsters.
Yes, they were.
Hira played the father of Sawai's character.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a big plot thread, man.
Showrunner Justin Marks and director Jonathan Von Tolkien cast Cosmo Jarvis as John Blackthorne after seeing his performance in Come With Horses.
Interesting. We'll have to check that out. Yeah. See what got him the role.
This reunites Hiroyuki Sanada and Tadanobu Asano after Mortal Kombat 2021. Let us know in the comments if you ever want us to interview Cosmo Jarvis and have me be part of that, and I will do the voice, if you know what I mean.
Tadanobu Asano, was he
how he didn't even react.
Raiden.
Yes, he was Raiden.
Yeah. And then Hiroyuki Sanada.
Yeah,
the
I
Scorpion.
Didn't even the Scorpion. Okay. I didn't even think about that. Lordi Shido, who was Takahiro Hira, and Anna Sawai Mariko appear in Monarch: Legacy of Monsters as father and daughter. We already talked about that one.
It's a repeat. Andrew. You're losing your edge, man. You're the trivia guy.
They put it here again. So here, all right. So the last two, which got lots of likes.
Oh sure.
All right. These are spoilers, but I can imagine if you made it to this part, you know. Whilst this is a remake of Shogun, the 1980 miniseries, both these miniseries are based on the real-life exploits of William Adams, a ship's pilot who was shipwrecked on the shores of Japan in 1600 and became the first Englishman to make contact with Japan. William and his second mate were eventually made Western samurai and became advisors to the Shogun of the time.
See, that's another thing, too, is like, you know, there's definitely a trope of like, oh, Western guy goes to Japan and immediately just like fully comes back with like, you know, the entire culture, you know, wrapped around him. Whereas the growth of Blackthorne accepting A, hygiene, and B, just their dress and their just, I don't know, the physicality of the place and culture that he is steeped in, like, at the end of the show, it did just look natural to see him in Eastern dress and in those spaces. And you're like, yeah, this is by this show and the experience of this story. This feels like someone who has just kind of shifted and adapted to this place that he basically now lives for the foreseeable and future.
And we talked about, too, the last episode.
And he's
where
like learning the language.
The last episode, too, when he was going to second Mariko, when she was going to perform Seppiko, was for two reasons. Not only like, because like if this was originally earlier in the show where he had not developed and you know, gotten this ideology, he would have just ran up and got her and they would have got out of there, which was, again, a good subversion of expectations. Yeah. But it was also for two reasons. One, because he loved her and respected her. And two, I believe it's because if you commit seppuku, sorry, I always say it wrong.
It's okay.
But if you perform
I
that
feel like
too,
especially
I feel like
on the Western side of the world, we start to throw all kinds of vowels around.
I believe too, the whole thing is like from what I was reading, if you perform, if you take your own life, you go to a bad place, right? And so
in Christian religion, it is a mortal sin.
It's a mortal sin. So he was like, that was a respectful like thing on his end too.
Well, it's that thing. Yeah. It's that arising of like, you know what, because I'm going to honor your decision and I'm going to help it be as painless as possible. Yeah,
for sure. Exactly. Yeah. That too.
And
yes,
that's an act of love in a different way. Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap it up with this final one. Anjin is Japanese for pilot, which was the nickname given to pilot major John Blackthorne. John Blackthorne himself was molded on English navigator William Adams, who would be the second foreigner and first European to become a samurai. His Japanese name was Mira Anjin, as in the pilot of Mira, pronounced Miora. Mira. Mira. City 50 miles south of Tokyo. Pilot is also the name of the first episode of the series.
Hey, hey, hey. We brought it full circle. Andrew. And Jin Andrushige,
Janizio.
Lord Gordon Naga.
Yes, Janizio, how are you, my friend?
We're right back at the beginning of the video. Yes. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for helping make this a fun ride.
Yeah, a really memorable, rich experience. And hey, hopefully we get to cover something together in this format again sometime soon when a proper opportunity arises. But yeah, this has been just such a tour de force of filmmaking, you know, from themes and writing, directing, acting, production designs, locations, all that stuff. Even if they were in Canada, Andrew.
Yes, but I only knew that because I watched
Everybody shoots in Canada.
That too, but also
tax breaks.
We watched an incredible interview with Anna Sawai with, I believe it was Stephen Colbert, and that's the only reason I knew it was in Canada. I was convinced this was 1600 to Japan.
Yeah,
so
they found a really great location.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's movie magic, boy.
It, for sure. But wonderful show. I'm so glad I got to do it with you. Yeah. And thank you guys so much for just keeping us informed in the comment section. Love you guys. Awesome.
Appreciate
you.
Be well.